Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Grant that I may see. Words taken from today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The great spiritual warfare, my dear children, awaits us. The great combat, when we take up the arms of prayer, fasting, and almsgiving to do battle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Take the time now, in the few days that remain, to settle on what sort of mortifications you shall undergo. Clear them with your confessor, and then think no more on them. In all humility, submit and simply stick to them. As in the past, I always tell you there are certain things where you may feel free to be severe with yourself. Television, blogs, social media, radio in your car, secular films and music. You may feel free to cut these out of your life all throughout these sacred 40 days. As far as the physical penance, especially fasting, this is the great sword of the spiritual combat, but we must always remind ourselves a sword is no use to us if it is too heavy for us to lift. That is why, in all humility, we should always ask our confessor if a particular fast is suited to us. As far as works of charity, you know I enjoin upon you all, starting on the first Sunday of Lent, although you may feel free to start earlier, take the time to greet someone. Take the time to speak to someone whom you are not in the habit of speaking to, perhaps someone you've never even met, and whom you may greet for the first time. That is why we do not do away with coffee and donuts during Lent. We encourage you to go downstairs. We encourage you to have time to speak to each other. We should all go even further in imitating so many of our fathers in the faith, ask forgiveness of someone with whom we are at odds. There is no better time than Lent to take the time to ask someone's forgiveness. In times past, all warfare was forbidden during these days. In our cruel modern era, we know well enough that this is no longer the case. But as far as the wars that go on between us, there is nothing that stops us from making such a truce. And so let us all have the humility to approach those with whom we are at odds and ask forgiveness for any faults we may have committed on our side. Finally, we should never forget that lesson which comes to us from our Lord right in the midst of Lent. That reminder that that which goes into a man is not principally that which defiles him, but that which comes out. For the things which proceed from the mouth come forth from the heart, he says, and those things defile a man. For from the heart come forth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false testimonies, blasphemies. The Apostle St. James tells us, if any man offends not in word, he is a perfect man. He is able to lead about the whole body with a bridle. For if we put bits into the mouths of horses, that they may obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Behold also ships, whereas they are great, yet are driven by strong winds, yet they are turned about with a small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. Even so, the tongue is indeed a little member and boasts of great things. Behold how great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is an unrighteous world among our members, defiling the whole body, setting aflame the wheel of existence, itself set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of creeping thing and fish, can be tamed and has been tamed by man. But no man can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men, who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, this ought not to be so. Our patron, St. Francis de Sales, cautions us, when you speak of your neighbor, look upon your tongue as a sharp razor in the surgeon's hand, about to cut nerves and tendons. It should be used so carefully as to ensure that no particle, more or less than the truth, be said. And finally, when you are called upon to blame sin, always strive as far as possible to spare the sinner. How often, as he reminds us in another passage, do we begin to speak about someone else saying, so-and-so is a fine person, but in such a case, we know that our blade has already slipped. Hate the sin and love the sinner. This is true enough. How often have we heard people say this? It serves as a sort of summary of the Christian moral code. How often have we repeated it to ourselves with smug satisfaction? And yet how often is this in us nothing but pure hypocrisy? For in sins of the tongue especially, we hate the sinner and love the sin. Do we not all have the liveliest awareness of when we have been sinned against in word? The slightest cross word, insensitive remark, or tone at our expense. And we are ready either to draw our sword in defense of our rights or hide under our bed and pout for the next week. Let us consider then briefly the types of sins of the tongue. There is lying, which in itself is a venial sin, but mortal when a sin directly against justice. But besides such lies told to hurt other people, there is also boasting, duplicity, and sincerity. There is the revealing of secrets which have been confided to us, or which we have discovered. There is contumely, unjustly dishonoring someone in his presence. It is often combined with impiety and disrespect, talking back to priests, religious, to parents. Then there is defamation, doing the same thing behind someone's back. Detraction, unjustly revealing another's genuine but hidden fault, gossip. Then there is calumny or slander, untruthfully declaring a fault of which someone is in fact not guilty. This need not be some carefully crafted lie. Most often it flows directly from what we have already decided in our heart is true. And there is rash judgment, the firm assent of the mind, whether put into words or not, to the existence of sin in another person without sufficient reason. The author of The Spiritual Combat tells us, by degrees we assume for ourselves what we detract from others, foolishly imagining ourselves exempt from the sins for which we so readily condemn our neighbors. All these sins of the tongue, which I have just named, are by nature mortal. They are venial only by slight matter or lack of deliberation. Did not our Lord already tell us this? You have heard that it was said to them of old, thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say to you, whosoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire. How often have you considered that your particular judgment is going to last several hours based on everything you've said throughout your life? Our judge has already told us, you shall be called to give an account for every idle word you have uttered. What hope have we then? The virtue we hear about on this Sunday before Lent, the virtue of charity. Charity is not just giving what is due or finding the happy medium. Charity is when we give without counting dues, without measure. As great as the virtue of justice is, and was understood even to be so by the pagans, we shall be judged by a virtue which was unknown to them, for it was revealed to us by God himself. We shall be judged on our charity. Without this virtue, we shall have nothing to recommend us on judgment day. But with it, we have everything. Yes, our Lord has told us we shall be called to give an account for every idle word. But he has also told us that charity covers a multitude of sins. That if we are charitable to others, if we are forgiving and mete out mercy rather than judgment, we may well hope to receive the same on the day of our reckoning. No one preached more fiery Lenten sermons than the great and holy doctor John Chrysostom. And yet he told his flock, you know how much I love and esteem fasting. Our Lord gave us the greatest example of it. Yet when Christ spoke to us, he did not say, learn of me how well I fasted. He said, learn of me, for I am meek and humble of heart. O knowledge of self, source of all meekness, O precious wisdom that outshines all earthly treasures, we can find no greater remedy for our sinful inclinations than an awareness of our own wretchedness. Throughout this Lent, and especially before we make our confession, let us remember to repeat those words of the blind man we hear today. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Lord, grant that I may see. And let us be confident that he will not fail to say to us in turn, receive thy sight. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Amen.